It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The city of Pittsburgh has hundreds of abandoned and, in some cases, dilapidated buildings it expects to tear down this year. But on Wednesday, residents urged city council members to temporarily halt demolitions, especially in less affluent neighborhoods. The question is, what is the best thing to do with empty buildings? Tear them down or try to restore them? And at what cost? I'm joined now in Studio A by Tim Stevens, chairman of the Black Political Empowerment Project. Tim Stevens, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Always exciting.
And also
we're
with us,
welcome back and appreciate it. Thank you.
You are welcome, sir. And also with us is Matthew Hawkins, professor of social work at the University of Pittsburgh. Matthew Hawkins, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
And if you have a comment or question for our guests, 412-246-2002, the number to call, 412-246-2002. I'll start with you, Tim Stevens. Why do home demolitions have such a negative effect on the community?
Well, we sent a letter to council, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and we went to council, some of the representatives of the Black Political Empowerment Project on Wednesday, because we just felt that it had gotten to the point where the demolition in Homewood is beginning to make the community look like a bombed-out community. I grew up in the Hill District as a kid. I'm 68 years old, so we're going back quite a while. I grew up in a community that had houses beside houses, houses across the street. People could, and that's before everybody had air conditioning and all these other advantages of today, people could talk over beside the neighbor on the right and the neighbor on the left and the neighbor across the street, complain about the heat, complain about the snow, complain about the cold, or communicate with, hey, you want to come over? My son's having a birthday or whatever. You literally had a community, as I grew up in the Hill, for instance. Now, as you drive through, if you were to drive through Homewood right now, not only would you, if you turn to the left or the right, sometimes you not only see, as I was telling Matt, in the green room, and this is a green room too, by the way, I say. But anyway, not only would you look over and see the other side of the street, you see the other street because there's so many sections where numerous houses have been knocked down. You cannot do that in some of the more affluent communities of our city and certainly outside the city. We sent our letter both to the county execs, county council, city council, and the mayor. We're not saying that we have the answers, but we have several questions. With all the violence going on in our black communities today that everybody says they abhor, what about looking at some opportunities to put some of these young adults who have guns in their hand, maybe they would pick up a hammer and some nails and saws and do some work, positive work. And as we had the news conference last week, there were at least 10 young men, maybe more, being trained in Rochester, Pennsylvania, through the House of Manna, run by Reverend Eugene Blackwell, to train some young people to have some skills. The other thing that we're proposing is, with so many lots that have been, that do exist because so many houses have been knocked down, if you're going to have the lots, keep them clean, keep them neat. Where we had the news conference at the corner of Lang and Idlewild, if you looked from the young man who was across the street who had no neighbors, he was by himself in one house, if he looked out, all he saw were lots to the right, lots to the left, no houses, wild grass, 3 or 4 feet high. One of the things we're suggesting, why don't you put young people and young adults with such extremely high unemployment in Homewood and in these other black communities to work to have a systematic operation of keeping the lots clean. Even in the winter, they can keep the lots clean and straight. Obviously, you wouldn't be cutting grass, but you could be maintaining. And then the properties that do exist, we had pictures. I have them in my car. I should have brought them in, but you don't have WESA TV yet.
But we can put them on our website.
We can do that. We had pictures enlarged from a house that used to be on Frankstown around the corner from where we had the press conference. If you look at the pictures, basically, if you look at the pictures, what's wrong with the house that was just knocked down very recently? A couple areas you could see some new paint. But if you painted that building structurally, I don't know what's going on the inside, but structurally outside, including the roof, it looked to be in reasonably solid shape.
Let me jump in.
Yeah, go ahead.
When asked about the issue of demolitions, the Bureau of Building Inspection demolition manager, Paul Loy, said that a major issue is that a large number of these homes are not owned by the city, and thus the city has no right to renovate them. And another thing that he said was that to keep things from being demolished, somebody has to take responsibility for it.
Sure.
So what is your take? How would you get around those particular obstacles?
When we went to council, we said straight out, we don't have answers. We have a lot of questions. And we said what needs to happen is a conversation with all powers that be, including the young man who you just spoke of, to come to council. And we know from day one that this is not a unanimous type of conversation, even in the black community. But we do know that there's some outrageous level of demolition going on. And let me be clear about this. We're not saying there aren't some houses that need to be knocked down. There are some houses that may be, in fact, dangerous. So we're sensitive to that. But what was good to know from council, they voted unanimously to have this conversation. I talked to Teresa Kell-Smith after the meeting, and she said out in the West End, they're having similar concerns, and she's been upset about it. So this is not just just from the eyes of some black people. This is an issue. I just came from Thomas Merton Center, and there were people there who happened to be all white who absolutely understood the concern that was expressed by the Black Political Empowerment Project, and mentioned that some folks from another community through some blogging echoed concerns about that's going on in other neighborhoods. So we have touched a nerve, and that's what we do with Black Political Empowerment Project, not to irritate people, but to present an opportunity to find solutions. And I think this is what will happen. Mr. Peduto was walking past us as the Post-Gazette and Tribune were talking to us after our presentation in council, and he reinforced that he believes that we are on something that's appropriate in terms of the conversation, and there needs to be a look at what is possible. He used the word that I wanted to use here. There needs to be a balanced approach.
Right, not to just go in and just capriciously just knock down all of the abandoned houses. Matthew Hawkins, in a recent article, you seem to conclude that your renovation efforts in the 80s were unsuccessful. Why was that?
Well, in the 80s, I was associate director of HBRDC, the home of Brush and Revitalization and Development Corporation. And our strategy was to preserve the existing housing stock because we wanted to increase population density, some of the things that Tim is talking about. And we had to increase population density because our primary mission was to promote business growth in the neighborhood and to recruit new businesses to the neighborhood. And one of the things they look for is the amount of population density that you would have there. I think some of the problems that we ran into, and again, I would say that our strategy was we ran up against opposition. There was competition with another neighborhood-based organization in the neighborhood. Hmm. I think some of the things we were successful in securing grants from foundations outside of the city of Pittsburgh that could be matched with the city of Pittsburgh. We had cooperation with the city in terms of our strategy ultimately for rehabbing the housing and preserving it. And the limitations of it, I think, were really with opposition from those who felt we weren't doing it fast enough and that the housing was staying there, abandoned houses were staying there longer than we could acquire them. Because the key is the issue that was raised before, that somebody has to acquire the property in order to rehab it and then to move it on to the market. And so some of the neighborhood organizations felt that we weren't acquiring it fast enough and that the housing was staying there, that it was abandoned, turning into shooting galleries for heroin addicts and infested with rodents and things like that.
And that there was just too far gone and there was no point in trying to keep hope alive for those particular buildings. So I would ask you then, what would organizations such as BPEP have to do differently to avoid a similar fate?
I would say that there really has to be a focus on developing public-private partnerships and really reestablishing the role of nonprofits in community economic development. That's going to be, I think, a critical piece in this. Otherwise, on the one side, you have people who say, don't demolish the housing. but then they don't have there isn't a strategy for how to rehab it. On the other side, you have those who want to demolish the housing, and they don't have a strategy for rebuilding afterwards, leaving it looking like an urban moonscape.
And you also have people who cannot move back into the community once the new housing is built. Again, we're not against new housing either, but can we find a mix here? Because some people historically get moved out of areas and they can't even go back in a community that used to be what they called home.
And I think one final point is that the foundation community, as well as city government, also should look at a broad range of community stakeholders who have the capacity to do development. In the past, the tendency has been to identify a single entity that would represent a neighborhood, and that was sort of like the community partner. Now, these days, and in some neighborhoods, that actually works, but these days there are a lot of neighborhoods that really don't have that single viable community partner to drive economic development. And if you're going to rehab housing and preserve it, then the city, I think, has to think, and the foundations have to think creatively about working with a number of stakeholders who can push this process of revitalization.
That's Matthew Hawkins, professor of social work at the University of Pittsburgh. Also with us is Tim Stevens, chairman of the Black Political Empowerment Project. We're talking about the issue of abandoned houses in Pittsburgh neighborhoods and what to do with them. And our one question I would ask you, Tim, is that after the homes are renovated, as you are proposing to do with some of them, what should then be done with those houses? What happens next?
Our hope is, well, first of all, let me say this. There will be a public hearing, a special hearing, and people who are interested in all directions could call and leave a message at 412-758-7898, 758-7898, or leave electronically through BPEP, B-P-E-P, info@B-P-E-P.net, B-P-E-P, info@BPEP.net, because we want to get, as Matt said, a number of entities who wish to look at the subject, maybe have some solutions, and because we do have an interest in council looking at this issue and an interest from who apparently will be the future mayor, unless there's a Republican landslide that we've never seen in, what, 80 years or whatever, he's interested in the subject. He does not think we're off base by bringing the subject up, Mr. Duda, that we want to hear from various organizations and entities, including those who can actually bring some concreteness to solutions. Community Empowerment, CA, for instance, with Rashad Birdsong, he's actually having young adults trained, as is the House of Manna through Reverend Eugene Blackwell. There must be other entities, certainly, and not only in Homewood, in other areas of the city, where entities can come together and help create solutions to this problem.
I wanted to ask Matthew before we wrap this up, how can you sustainably rehabilitate a struggling community like Homewood?
You really have to go to community stakeholders. One of the things that Homewood Russian has is Homewood Nation, which is a kind of online
They were at the news conference originally
for dialogue. Mm-hmm. Really, I think residents have to be engaged, and that means that there has to be information made available to them, and there has to be a discussion at the community level. I think one of the interesting things is, as Tim has pointed out, the likely next mayor is focusing on neighborhood-driven government in terms of the way the city of Pittsburgh would operate under his paradigm. And under that scenario, neighborhoods are going to have to be prepared to step up to the plate and come up with constructive solutions to neighborhood-based problems. And that requires engagement right now.
And buy-in. And Ricky Burgess met with us for about a half an hour after the hearing on Wednesday, and we went through about two pages of notes here on about 8 points of what he's willing to do with regard to our requests. He's willing to have even a community meeting in the Homewood community about this and to share some ideas that he has in mind, which may be more concrete and more progressive and more constructive with community input, and I think he sees the need to do this now.
And obviously there's a further discussion and discussions to be had on this particular topic. We're out of time for now, but I want to thank both of our guests, Tim Stevens, chairman of the Black Political Empowerment Project, for joining us, as well as Matthew Hawkins, professor of social work at the University of Pittsburgh. Gentlemen, thank you both for being here.
Keep the sun shining.